Father, we thank you and praise you for today. We thank you for what you already have done. We thank you, Lord, that our eyes and our ears are open to see you, to hear you, to know you, to be one with you. And Lord, we thank you for the season that we are in. Lord, we thank you that we will heed upon it, that we will be obedient in this season to do whatever you ask us to do. So, Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for this word today. Lord, we thank you that it will be a word in season and that we will heed to it and we will apply it. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So, as I was studying for this message, I sensed the Lord was saying that this season that we're in right now, many of us are going to be put into new positions, new assignments, including jobs and businesses and ministries. And when revival or the awakening is in full swing, which is coming, we will need everyone on hands on deck. We're all going to be called to serve. Amen. So the Holy Spirit led me back to the parables, the teachings of Jesus. Jesus was teaching his disciples and his followers his ways of doing things and to put into practice what he taught. These parables involve our character and our integrity as Christians, and we have an open door of opportunity to shine God's light and bring hope to people who are before us in these days. So, after Jesus ascended into heaven, he went to make a place for us in the heavenly realm. Before he comes and calls us up to be with him, he wants us to take care of the Father's kingdom here, meaning take care of the body of Christ, take care of the needs of the people, take care of everything that needs our attention. Jesus can call us up at any time, and we should be living as one who is ready, alert, and awake and full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and guide us at all times as we live here. In the meantime, as we're waiting, we have to take care of the Lord's business as being good, faithful servants, or what the Bible says, stewards. The title of my message today is Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. So let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, 42 to 51. Yes, amen. Matthew 24, 42 to 51. I will get there. I should have marked it. Okay. 42 to 51, 24. This is why you must stay alert, because no one knows the day your Lord will come. But realize this, if a homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would come to rob his house, he would have been alert and ready and not let his house be robbed. So always be ready, alert, and prepared, because at an hour when you're not expecting him, the Son of Man will come. Who is the one qualified to oversee the master's house? He will be a reliable servant who is wise and faithful, one he can depend on. The master will want to give him the responsibility of overseeing others in his house, for his servant will lead them well and give them food at the right time. What joy and blessing will come to that faithful servant when the master comes home to find him serving with excellence. I can promise you, the master will raise him up and put him in charge of all that he owns. But the evil servant says in his heart, "My master delays his coming, and who knows when he will return And because of the delay, the servant mistreats those in his master's household. Instead of caring for the ones he was appointed to serve, he abuses the other servants and gives himself over to eating and drinking with drunkards. Let me tell you what will happen to him. His master will suddenly return at a time that surprises him, and he will remove the abusive, selfish servant from his position of trust. And the master will cut him in two and assign him to a place of great sorrow and anguish, along with all the other pretenders and unbelievers. This is Jesus speaking. So in this parable, Jesus is the master and we are his servants. We have to ask ourselves today, are we taking care of his house, his business, his kingdom, and how are we taking care of it? Okay, now let's turn to Mark 13. This message is not a rebuke, by the way. Okay, this is a message of encouragement. Because we are faithful to God. 13, Mark 13:32-37. Okay, am I in the right spot? No, I'm not. I'm in Luke instead of Mark. Okay, just give me a moment here. I'm reading the Passion, by the way, if it sounds very different. 13:32-37. Okay, live always ready for his appearing. Concerning that day and exact hour, no one knows when it will arrive. Not the angel of heaven, nor even the Son, only the Father knows. This is why you must be waiting, watching, and praying, because no one knows when that season of time will come. For those days can be compared to a man who was about to leave on a journey, but before leaving the place, he placed his servants in charge and gave each one work to do while he was away. Then he commanded the watchmen to be on guard at all times. So I say to you, keep awake and alert, for you have no idea when the master of the house will return, in the evening, at midnight, at 4 o'clock in the morning, or at dawn. So be alert, for he's coming suddenly and may find you sleeping. And what I say to the four of you, I say to everyone, be awake at all times. Hallelujah. Here again, Jesus is the man who left his house, leaving his servants in charge of his house, and he gave us all something that we are in charge of and to be responsible for. Jesus also mentions the watchmen. They are the doorkeepers who guards the entrances of the kingdom. I believe they are the prophetic intercessors who keep us from and warn us of the spiritual danger that may be lurking or coming our way. And Jesus says he will be coming suddenly, so stay alert. Many times he tells us that it's going to be when we least expect it and a big surprise. So let's turn to Luke 12:35. Says, be prepared for action at a moment's notice. So I looked that up in the Greek. In the Greek, literally, it means let your loins be girded and keep your lamps burning. Loins being girded in the Bible means be prepared to serve in the kingdom at any time. And stay filled in the Holy Spirit, always being ready. So let's continue. Yeah, I didn't know what loins being girded ever meant until I studied it out. So it's, okay, starting in 35 again, it says, be prepared for action at a moment's notice. Be like the servants who anticipate their master's return from a wedding celebration. They are ready to unlock and open the door for him at a moment's notice. What great joy is ahead for the awakened ones who are waiting for the master's return. He himself will become their servant and wait on them at his table as he passes by. He may appear at midnight or even later, but what great joy for the awakened ones whenever he comes. Of course, if they knew ahead of time the hour of the master's appearing, they would be alert, just as they would be ready if they knew ahead of time that a thief was coming to break into their house. So keep being alert and ready at all times, for I can promise you that the Son of Man will surprise you and will appear when you don't expect him. So keep, you know, preparing yourself. Now here again, Jesus references the wedding, and when the door is unlocked and open for us, it will be a day of great joy when Jesus appears for us. Jesus says, so keep awake and be ready. Don't fall asleep, meaning don't take your salvation lightly and unresponsibly. Saying to yourself, and I remember saying this to myself too, because I've been hearing this since I became a Christian, the Lord is coming back soon. Okay? For many, many years. But Jesus is going to surprise us. Okay, now let's turn to Luke 12:41-48. It says, Lord, Peter asked, does this apply only to the 12 of us, or is it for everyone else as well? And the Lord said, a trustworthy and thoughtful manager who understands the ways of his master will be given a ministry of responsibility in his master's house, serving others exactly what they need at just the right time. And when the master returns, he will find that his servant has served him well. I can promise you he will be given a great reward and will be placed as an overseer of everything the master owns. But what if that servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and who knows when he will return? Because of the delay, the servant evaluates himself and mistreats those in his master's household. Instead of caring for the ones he was appointed to serve, he abuses the other servants, both men and women. He throws drunken parties for his friends and gives himself over to every pleasure. Let me tell you what will happen to him. His master will suddenly return at a time that shocks him, and he will remove the abusive, selfish servant from his position of trust. He will be severely punished and assigned a portion with the unbelievers. Every servant who knows full well what pleases his master, yet who does not make himself ready and refuses to put his master's will to action, will be punished with many blows. But the servant who does not know his master's will and unwittingly does what is wrong will be punished less severely. For those who have received a greater revelation from their master are required a greater obedience, and those who have been entrusted with great responsibility will be held more responsible to their master. Wow. So in the Bible, the other translation they use slave or steward instead of servant. A steward is a word we don't really use that anymore in the English language, but in the Bible, a steward means manager. A manager is someone who takes care of someone else's affairs. A manager has the responsibility to oversee his master's house or his business, his property, a farm. A master can be an owner or a lord. A manager is given the the authority and the responsibility to take care of his owner's house and affairs like the owner would. So the manager would need to know all about the owner's ways of doing things and what he likes and expects. So when the owner returns to see what the manager is doing with his affairs, he wants to be pleased with the job he is doing. So Jesus is telling us to be good, faithful managers of his kingdom affairs. So when he returns, he will be pleased with his church, his bride, who has served him well and has made herself ready for his return. A good steward, manager, or servant will and should have the qualities of being kind, especially to others. In the parable in Matthew 24, when the evil servant says, "The master is delaying in his coming," and the evil servant starts to mistreat people in the master's household. Instead of caring for the people, he abuses them, and he starts to walk in the flesh. He submits to all kinds of fleshly desires. So when the Lord comes back, he finds this out. He cuts him off. The Lord wants us to be kind, good caretakers of his kingdom, and to be trustworthy. He also called us to be good managers of our giftings and our callings, like it says in 1 Peter 4:10. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 4:10. It says, "Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength of God that gives to you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belong the power and the glory forever throughout all ages. Amen." So we're responsible for the gifts that he has given to us and to use them. We are held accountable to be good stewards of our money and with all the tangible things that he has given to us, including people. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Put your heart and your soul into every activity you do, as though you were doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others." In Matthew 25, 14 through 30, let's look at that. It's the parable of the talents, or the parable of the financial stewardship. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I'm just allowing the scriptures to speak this morning. Are they speaking? Good. Okay. So this is a parable about financial stewardship. Again, but you can apply this to anything, really. Again, heaven's kingdom realm is like the wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to the one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins, each according to his ability to manage. The one entrusted with the 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with the money, and he doubled his investment. In the same way, the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Why do you think he did that? He was in fear. So after much time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. The one who was entrusted with the 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, "See, I have doubled your money." Commending his servant, the master replied, "You have done well. and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you have been a faithful servant to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, come celebrate with me. Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, see, my master, I have doubled what you entrusted to me. Commending his servant, the master replied, you have done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, come celebrate with me. Then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came to his master and said, look, sir, I know that you're a hard man to please, and you're shrewd, and you're a ruthless businessman who grows rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you, so I went and I hid your money and buried it in the ground. But here it is. Take it. It's yours. Angered by what he heard, the master said to him, you're an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was shrewd and ruthless businessman who always makes a profit, why didn't you just deposit my money in the bank? Then I would have received all back with interest when I return. Not today, though. But because you were... I had to put that in there. Okay. But maybe other investments. Amen. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give them to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. And the one with hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken from him. Then the master said to his other servants, now throw that good-for-nothing servant far away from me into the outer darkness, where there will be great misery and anguish. We don't like that part. So in the parable, Jesus identifies qualities of a good and bad steward. A good steward is one who has a heart of faith and is managing what the Lord gives him. And Jesus says that more will be given to him. Now, a bad steward was full of fear, had very little faith, wisdom, or integrity with what the Lord has given to him to manage, and Jesus says he will lose the little that he already has. Now, for an example, a bad steward was Judas. He was Jesus' treasurer. Judas was given stewardship of the Lord's money and the other apostles, and he had no integrity with Jesus' ministry at all. In John 12:6, it says that Judas had no heart for the poor. He was called a thief. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. The most important thing to be a good steward, I believe, because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. There's nothing to fear, okay? And whatever things he gives unto us. The qualities of a good steward identified by Jesus are to be dependable and reliable, faithful, wise, understands the Lord's ways and his will. That's important. He or she loves to serve, willing to take a risk if asked to, and loves people. God wants us to build up, increase what God has given to us. We are called to invest in, build up, increase God's kingdom for his return. We are entrusted with the word of God, faith and authority in the spiritual realm. Now, here are some good examples of good stewards. Noah was called to steward the animals and the people that God wanted to save from the great flood. Abraham was the steward of the promise to create a nation out of a wandering people, a nation that later became Israel. Joseph served as a steward in Potiphar's household. He later acted as a steward while he was in prison, seeing to the needs of the prisoners. Joseph also served as a steward under Pharaoh. taking care of the needs of the Egyptians and the people of the surrounding area. The disciples served as faithful stewards, teaching the word of God and spreading the gospel throughout the world they had access to. It's because of their faithfulness that we are all here today. Amen? In closing, whatever or wherever God puts us in the world, always do it unto the Lord to the very best of your ability. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, father, grandmother, or grandfather, whether you're working a job, a business, or in your ministries, serve and manage it unto the Lord. If your ministry is a small task no one even knows about, or you are being in the public eye as a well-known minister or a well-known person, always do it unto the Lord. The world is watching, and so is the Lord. In conclusion, we must continue to be good stewards with ourselves, continuing to build our faith and always praying in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to end with Jude 1 through 17, a call to remain faithful. Did you get anything out of this today? Amazing. It's always amazing when it comes from God. Okay, where am I going? Jude 1 through 17. I don't know if that's what I wanted. No, here it is. I'm right. 1 through 7, chapter 1, 17. But you, my delightfully loved friends, remember the prophecies of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. They taught you, in the last days, there will always be mockers motivated by their own godly desires. These people cause divisions, are followers of their own natural instincts, devoid the life of the Spirit. But you, our delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts, and snatch others out of the fire to save them. Be merciful over and over to them, but always couple your mercy with the fear of God. Be extremely careful to keep yourselves free from the pollutions of the flesh. Now to the one with even power to prevent you, this is Jude praying here. Now to the one with enough power to prevent us from stumbling into sin and bring us faultless before his glorious presence, to stand before him with ecstatic delight, to the only God, our Savior, through our Lord Jesus Christ, be endless glory and majesty, great power and authority from before he created time, now and throughout all the ages of eternity. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise today for your word. Lord, we thank you. All of us have a call on our life for some reason, or for some people. It could even be somebody in our household. Whoever the Lord puts in front of us, Lord, we just pray that we would be the best manager or servant to the people that you have placed in front of us. Lord, we don't take this lightly. You're building up a strong, mighty church that is so full of the Holy Spirit and full of your power, that we have nothing to ever to fear. As long as we look to you and be led by the Holy Spirit, we will never fail. We will always have victory. You called us a great and mighty army. And in these last days, Lord, I know you're going to empower us as more and more people come into the kingdom. And Lord, you have called us into all areas. Every single day it could be somebody different. But Lord, you have a plan for us and a purpose. And Lord, we will hear to that. We will listen to you. We will do exactly what you want us to do, because you want to call us all good and faithful servants. Amen. Glory to God.